Move along now to Finance and Budget Committee. Region Johnson has been working diligently behind the scenes on this, as he always does, and I will turn it over to Region Johnson.
Thank you very much. Well, I guess we're going to start. First of all the members of the committee are here and present, and we have actually two action items on here and then an informational item. So we'll start off with action item number one, which is the approval of the 2017-18 audit plan. And Jennifer, I assume that you are in that seat for a reason.
It's actually not the audit plan. It's the audit charter.
Okay.
And I mentioned that last quarter that I wanted to review our charter to make sure that we were in compliance with the standards that we comply by. So what I did was review that, and there are specific standards that are related to the charter and what needs to be in there. And upon the review, there were two major things missing. I'm going to say major, but not major, but they do need to be in there. So you have the revised copy, and the two things that are probably the biggest changes are the nature of services. So we're required to put the definition of that includes assurance services, which is our auditing services that we do, and then consulting services, which is like our management reviews that we provide. So I added those to the charter. But along with that, I went ahead and took the opportunity to make some editorial changes. And they were very minor. I changed some of the content of the headings. I added some information in the introduction, and I went ahead and changed everything that was referencing administrative counsel to the President's Cabinet. As far as the committee's responsibilities that are listed in here, those did not change. Internal audit's responsibilities did not change. So those are the things that we're looking at today. And so the standards, we're to bring this in front of you periodically so that you review it. And it was established in 2013, so it needed to come in front of you anyway. So we went ahead and made the opportunity to make those changes as well.
Okay, and I want to point out that in the material that was handed out, it is attached to action item number one, and I believe that what Jennifer has done in connection with this is highlighted the areas that you had just and then the editorial changes have been redlined for those that need the opportunity to take another look at that. And again, if I could do one thing, in the agenda, it does refer to plan. It should say charter. If we could change that next time around. I mean, for the board meeting. Does anyone have any questions regarding this? Comments?
Organizationally, Mr. Johnson, it's just repositioning the reporting lines and the office already exists, doesn't it?
That's the way I read it. Yeah, I mean, but you're the author.
Yeah, it didn't change anything as far as the way that we're organized or the way that we report.
Okay.
Really, the main thing that I changed was adding that nature of services.
And I think it's also important to note that this is a periodic review by you, of you and your department, and as they go forward and how they interact with other departments within the university. I mean, I think you said that in your opening, but that kind of goes to Barbara's question. I think, Barbara. Anything else? Well, if there are no further questions or anything, then I'll ask for a motion.
So moved.
Okay. David?
Second.
Jason, and is there any other comments or questions or discussions? Hearing none, then I'll ask all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, like sign. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Our next item, action item for the committee, our personnel is an ongoing monthly endeavor, personnel actions. Anne?
I won't read the agenda item to you. You obviously know these are permanent salary adjustments, new hires.
and temporary salary changes and one-time payments. The dates are indicated. This is our standard report back to you for approval. This is our committee meeting on the sequence that normally we don't have as much for you. The budget was approved, and it's too early for the annual audit to be submitted to you, so it's a short, sweet meeting.
Okay. Has anybody had an opportunity to look at all of this?
Mm-hmm.
Are there any comments, questions to Ann regarding any of the items listed in the attachments, which begins on page F1 and then goes to staff pages? Hearing none, then I will ask for a motion for approval of the personnel actions.
So moved.
Regent Higdon, move second.
Second.
Second, 42nd. Any further discussion, comments, questions? Hearing none, then I'll ask all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, like sign. Motion carries unanimously. I'd like to bring up one thing, and I don't mean to ambush here, but one of the things I saw in these personnel actions is the massive amount of information that's contained in here. There's got to be some very significant work that goes behind that, of time and energy and perhaps money. Am I correct about that?
It starts in both in payroll, the chief financial officer, and the Office of Human Resources. The report is prepared, sent out to the president's cabinet for review, and comments are provided back for this material on any salary increase greater than 5,000. It's a lengthy report to reflect back to maybe some regions that may have not have been on the board as long. We vacillated a bit about what to bring to the board and not. And general counsel may be able to weigh in on what your statutory responsibility is for approving salaries. But it is a lengthy report, and that you do have some flexibility of at what level that you think you want to act or delegate.
But right now we're doing that at every level, regardless of the dollar amount. I mean, regardless of how high it is or how even zero.
Title changes.
Correct.
You're right. Title changes
fall
in that category.
Or Deborah?
She's here.
Oh, hi. What is our requirement as a board for a committee to actually approve every single level? Can we delegate that responsibility back to the administration at some level?
First of all, the committees are only reviewing and necessarily taking action on items that are brought to them. Only the full board can take action on it.
Okay, okay.
So, as far as the full board, the statute is, I don't have to be by law, the board must approve all of the appointments, salaries, compensation, terms of employees.
Okay, regardless of amount and...
Regardless of amount.
Okay.
I have heard some
Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am.
That doesn't go over well.
Well, I just wonder, because we go through it so quickly and so hurriedly that sometimes you say, well, wait a minute, should this not be another?
Right. Well, I can assure you that the members of the Administrative Council and others who work with us
have
been very
careful. Okay. That's all. Anybody else got any questions or comments as to that? Okay.
And I'll turn it back over to Jennifer Miller for the quarterly internal audit report.
Thank you.
Your information, I don't have a chance to actually look at it. You'll see that this meeting, we're not talking about any audit reports. We've been vigorously working on drafting a lot of reports this quarter. So you see that list on the information item of what to expect next quarter for the meeting. We're either drafting those reports, we're doing the exit conferences, or we're arranging responses to the management. So that's what we've been working on, along with any of the upcoming projects that are also listed on there. We've been planning those as well. And so those will be coming up in the next couple of months. So for this meeting, I think I mentioned last quarter that per our standards, we are supposed to let you know about our progress and internal audit according to what the audit committee said. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And kind of want to start with the client survey. We started this last year, and that was the first time that we had done it, so we're going to continue to do that as part of our improvement process. And these are the results. One thing that we did differently was last year we only touched on the supervisors and directors that were part of those projects that we did. So this year we kind of go deeper into that, and if we contacted anyone related to a project, we wanted to get their feedback. We need the feedback to make ourselves better and to make sure that we're doing what we need to be doing. So with that said, we learned a few things from these survey results. I think we sent out around 30 requests, and we had about a 50% rate of return on that. So what we learned was we have one person that, and I know this based on comments, that we didn't have the kind of contact that we're talking about on the areas that we're measuring. So one of the things that we measure is audit purpose, scope, and findings. Were they clearly communicated? Well, this person, I think we didn't contact in that way because typically that information is shared with the supervisor or director in the pre-planning meeting. So instead of maybe putting neutral, we had strongly disagreed with that person. So we learned that maybe we either need to tweak how we're saying these comments and make them more applicable to everyone if we're going to send it out to a wide range of people, or we need to add the not applicable option so that they can choose that instead. So that's kind of where we're at, and we get good feedback, thankfully, and we hope that we're doing the things that like we're supposed to be doing. We need that feedback so that we can improve, and that's part of our quality assurance improvement program that we're building in our department, and also so that we can say when we have our quality assessment reviews on the external party that we are trying to get feedback from our clients. So that's part of that. And again, we have some comments. I don't have them printed out or I would share with you. But overall, I think people are satisfied with how we're performing, and I hope they are, and not just being nice to us, because these are anonymous. We don't know who sent these. So we will continue to do this survey on an annual basis. And the other thing that we also learned to improve our processes is that if we contact someone or have some kind of interview with a person on the project, we are going to tell them up front, hey, at the end of the year, you're going to get a survey. Would you please provide feedback for us so that we know how to improve? So that's kind of what we learned from this process itself. Do you have any questions about that?
Okay. If I could ask, sort of, taking the survey and applying it to our situation. In the past, we worked, one of the pending items was the bad debt policy with regards in particular to the bookstore and whatnot. Where does it fall in the grant? Is that a completed project, incomplete?
In this grant?
Or just in any grant? Is it a completed project?
I'll get to that information, I think, through here, and I hope that answers your question. So, along with the client survey, the other things that the standards have us do is talk about the completed projects as compared to the audit plan over here. So, planned projects, 52% complete by the end of the year. Ad hoc projects, we're 24% complete by the end of the year, with a total of 76%. And currently, I think if you look back the last couple of years, we're about in that same range every year. So that leaves the 24% that are planned but incomplete. And those projects are listed on, some of them are listed on your as being drafted currently. So I'll get to that part also. And I think I mentioned this is part of the standards that we share with you where we're at with y'all. And if you want to look at it a different way, which we do, we budget hours versus actual hours and what we spend our time on. We have three different categories that we can. So the first one is the risk assessment project. The actual is the red, and the budget is the gray. So you can see, this is a good visual to show you that we're spending most of our time in those risk assessment areas, which the risk assessment projects are the ones that are on the audit plan that are from the risk assessment that we conduct annually. So we're spending a lot of our time there. There's the ad hoc is the next category, and then the annual projects. Those are the ones that are on the audit plan every year. It includes the NCAA agreed procedures and the President's travel and entertainment audit and a few more things to do on an annual basis. So this is a good visual to get us comfortable with the fact that we're spending our time in the risk areas, and also to get you guys comfortable with that as well, so that we're in the places that we need to be. So what's not on here is the administrative tasks that we complete, and part of that is the follow-up process that we do with things like when we have the recommendations come through internal audit reports. We do have a process for that to follow up. And this is very obviously high level. You see those recommendations throughout the year when I present the audit report to the committee. And we always discuss the high priority level recommendations on those reports. So annually, I'm supposed to give you an overall review of what's still out there. And so this is what we have. We do the beginning, the new that were issued during the year, everything that was closed during the year, and anything that's currently open. And we do that by high, medium, low. So currently there are 8 open as the high level ones. Most of those, if not all of them, are related to policies that need to be drafted or approved. Right now, when we do the follow-up process, I present this to you annually, but we're actually tracking it on a quarterly basis. So anything that's been recommended in and issued our report, we can put in our database, also known as Excel. So it's kind of fancy. We track all of these in Excel. We do the recommendation, the responses from management, and the target date that they agreed to. And so on a quarterly basis, we contact those responsible parties, and we ask the status of those action plans. And if they have evidence that things have been taken care of as they agreed to, we gather that information as well and keep that in our files. And we're able to close those action plans. If they're just working in progress, we make comments on our database to make sure that we know where we're at for the next quarter. And also, if there's times when those target dates are not going to be met, we give them the flexibility to say, okay, let's agree on a revised target date so that we also track that it's been revised and what the new date will be. But we do that quarterly. And there's going to be a point where we start rotating those things in so that we can actually do full-on follow-up audits. We haven't gotten to that point yet, but I think that we can start cycling those in soon. So instead of just doing the quarterly follow-up process, we'll be able to go back and do a full follow-up audit and make sure that the things that they've said that they've done, not only do we have the evidence, but we can actually test those as well. So that will get more comfortable that as we can do and that they've agreed to do are in place and they're working. I don't think I answered your question.
So would that the bad debt policy be an example?
Yes. I believe that's one of the high rated ones that's still open. It's been drafted, and I think that we're waiting on approval to get it implemented. But we do follow up quarterly with that to make sure that they are doing what they agreed to as far as the action plan. There's other things that we do that are administrative tasks and other things that we're involved in throughout the year, and that's also things that we share on an annual basis. Some of the accomplishments. You now have 2 certified internal auditors on staff. So Sarah Reese was able to pass her exams, and we're very proud of her for that. And along with certification comes continuing professional education. So in the prior fiscal year, we completed over 50 hours of CPE. And part of that for me was I attended the College Business Management Institute, which is sponsored by and that's a week of me being at the University of Kentucky with several people from all over the country, with faculty members that come in and they teach us about how universities work. So you can learn about student affairs, you can learn about auxiliary service program, and that's my second year, so I have one more year left, and I'll be sad when that's over because it's been a great experience. But that's part of that CP credit hour that we've got. Another thing that's similar to that Sarah actually had a chance to do was the Dedicated Staff Leadership Institute. And she had to apply for that, get accepted, and she did. And that's a great program that's been co-sponsored by Staff Council, Human Resources, and VLO. So that's a program they meet once a month, and they learn about this university, they learn about leadership techniques, and they are able to network outside of their normal job description. So that was really good for her. She just recently graduated from that. Other things, we've also spent time serving on two major committees, RFP committees, and that takes somewhat a large amount of time depending on how many proposals you have to read. So those are just things that we've done throughout the year. And we look forward to being busy. We have been busy, and we're going to continue to be busy in the next year and going forward. One thing I would like to go back to is the client survey. Not only do we want the people that we are meeting with every day, but also for the committee to provide feedback, because we want to encourage and grow and make sure that we're providing you with what you need. And also so we're growing in a way that we keep adding value to the university.
I just one question. At the board meeting coming up next month, could you update the bad debt report or where we are in that particular status so we have something how that may go? Okay.
What's the average length of time that the open items have been open? Do you have any idea? Or what's the longest ones?
Well, it's all on a case-by-case basis. Yeah. Sometimes there are some that take so long. I'm trying to think of one that's been out there. One, when I first started, there was one that was tied to, I think, the phone system being put in place. And I think that that's still going on or just maybe recently completed. I'm not sure. But that one was a long one.
So I guess you evaluate just to make sure that the length of time that they're keeping these things open are also reasonable so that nothing gets drugged out that shouldn't.
We haven't gotten to that point yet. We're very flexible with our target date only because we know life happens and things happen, especially if it's a lower priority. The high ones, we typically try to get them to agree to it and work on those. But we haven't gotten to that point yet.
To follow up on your specific question, the bad debt policy is in draft. It's supposed to get to my desk early October. And several individuals working on it, and we started and allowed some professional staff to work on it and then send it up to the chief financial officer. And so part of this process, while the chief financial officer might have been able to write it in a week or two, we do allow this to be kind of a professional opportunity for other individuals to weigh in on the whole policy process. So I should have it later than this.
And I appreciate that and understand the time of late. I was just wondering about the actual situation. Is it being addressed in the meantime? Because those things are usually
There were a couple aspects to that report. Number one was a bit of a validation that our process works and is accurate for estimating uncollectibles. That was an important process, and I believe your audit confirmed that our calculations that are necessary as part of finalizing an audit at the end of the year are appropriate. So that we felt good about. Now, your bigger issue relates to why do we have bad debt in the first place? And that one gets a lot more complicated about the affordability issue. It has a lot to do with some changes in procedures where we have been a little more generous with students, allowing them more time to try to find out how to pay for the amount that they owe us in the fall, for example. However, we don't allow them to register for the spring unless they resolve these balances that are owed. So it has resulted in more bad debt. But on the flip side, we've had, it sounds a little cold, but the Department of Revenue has been an excellent partner and is helping bring that number down pretty significantly through the means that they have to collect that we don't. The other thing I will tell you about the bad debt is that if you didn't have the bad debt, then we would be in a situation where we drop them for non-payment. When we drop them for non-payment, then we're short on the tuition revenue. So we would have had unrealized, we're booking revenue based on billing, not actual receipts. We would have had a larger shortfall in tuition revenue versus actually booking a bad debt expense. It's complicated.
I understand the specific situation I was going to was the bookstore incident.
Oh, the bookstore.
Where we had a vendor, outside vendor, that had purchased textbooks for a large number, six-figure number, and that had not paid.
We have resolved that.
It's been collected? What do you mean by
I'll have to get the specifics back to you. I think it's a combination of errors that occurred, and it was probably both the paid and some write-off. But we had change in staffing, and we believe we won't have that situation again. Hello, Brad.
You may have some.
Yeah, right here. We were overseas, the dedicated store.
Yeah, Representative Dickin. What we did was I reviewed about 3 years' worth of data on that particular company. What we discovered is we took credits of merchandise at the WKU store, but did not communicate with the WKU accounting department the credits that we took at the WKU store. So we received physical merchandise at the store, but just did not communicate with the accounting department. So really, it's an accounting error. We actually discovered that we actually owed that company in question about $10,000. So that's exactly what happened.
Thanks, Brad. I was responding to the other bad debt report, which had to do with student receipts.
Right,
I understand.
And that's, I appreciate that distinction,
Mr. Chairman. Sure.
You've said that we access the Department of Revenue on ways that we cannot. What are you talking about?
Tax returns. You know that the Department of Revenue can. It is in a process that a former student owes us a balance and they have filed for a tax return and they don't get their return. It comes back to them. So I can provide the committee with a report of the numbers that have been fairly significant with the Department of Revenue. We may get a reaction internally before asking the Department of Revenue to intervene. Obviously, that helps us.
Does that cost us?
It's percentage of collected. They'll take a percentage of it. I don't know off the top of my head what percentage.
Is it a significant number that... I'm just trying to think if there is a vehicle that already allows us to collect in a format that doesn't reflect bad on WKU, because it's really money that we've got to get from the state somewhere. It looks like we should turn over that whole process to the Revenue Department to say, hey, we hear our bad debts, why don't you collect it? It would be a very cheap and easy way to get revenue.
Part of that is not all our students. The majority of them are, and so therefore, I'll bring that something back through the committee as to what our process is. It may be that we try internally to collect it where we might get a without paying a fee on it. It may be upwards to a year, it may be 6 months. I'll find out which it is, and as to the timing of when we ask the Department of Revenue to intervene. Previously, we had a contract with a third-party entity when we felt like we needed more external assistance
I think the amount that the Department of Revenue misspoils is less than the private sector.
That was my point.
Hmm. And it might be more expeditious since they have the ability to pull the money quicker from a better source.
That's an idea. Yep.
President Boney, would you like to?
Regent Johnson, thank you. I've just got a point of information for those of you who will recall during my convocation address, I mentioned our need to take a good look at the budget process for the institution. We'll be doing that alongside our strategic planning process. But I wanted to share with the Regents the redefined responsibilities of the Budget Council and the charge that I had given to them. You see here that we've shifted that group's work significantly and really asked them to do four things, including thinking through how we manage through revenue shortfall in a way that weans us off of using carry-forward funds, thinking about how we might realign, reallocate, and rebalance our expenditures and investments in a way to reward performance, to think about other budget models that are in place at other institutions that we might consider bringing here to WKU, and lastly, doing all of that in the context of Kentucky's new performance funding model, which has significant implications for our revenue. And so I think this is an opportune time for the institution to do these things, both in the context of shifting enrollment within our 20,000 and the revenue implications of that, combined with some of the headwinds that we've all heard of that we're facing as a Commonwealth, some portion of that including the state budget and also pension. And so I just wanted to bring everyone up to date that we had begun this work, and hopefully we'll have a set of recommendations back by early February that we can begin working toward implementation in the coming years. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Might want to mention, everybody, who comprises the Budget Council?
It is a group of individuals appointed by the President, and this year we shifted the chairmanship of that from a staffer to a faculty member. Indu Chachi is leading the effort for us. He's a finance professor. There are other representatives across the institution, many of whom have daily responsibilities for budget, but also a deep experience with financial affairs.
And Regent Johnson, I think, is an integral part of it. Are you not?
Well, I listen to him. Thank you for that.
Well,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's a wide group.
It is. Faculty, staff, administration, regent. It is advisory to the president, but I'm pushing them for more advice than perhaps they've delivered previously.
And will be critical to the work of the Strategic Planning Committee.
Exactly. That, parallel
that
process.
Will dovetail.
If I could add, I mean, I saw this process kind of start to work in a compensation review that Regent Higdon commissioned a year or so ago. And the charge there was to become engaged. And it's not an easy thing to do. So I commend you that you've got them engaged in this, and I commend the Budget Council and Indu and the whole team. And you're not asking for an easy. It's not an easy ask.
It is not.
But if everybody in the university is engaged in some way, shape, or form with the decision-making process, whether they have a vote at the end is irrelevant. They're involved in that process, and that input continues to build. And that's a great base, in my judgment. Anybody else have any comments? Or
a very positive move.
Thank you, Barbara. I think it is. And kudos to President Caboni for engaging in that. If there's nothing else, that concludes the Finance and Budget Committee meeting.
Okay. Thank you.